This is Talking Business. Joining me now is Dr. George Kopsidis, who's the Executive Director of Immunexus Limited in Melbourne. Now, it's a g'day, George, for a start.
Hello, right. Alan.
Now, it's a public unlisted company.
Yes, incorporated in November 2014.
Yep, and to do with immunology. Antibodies. And so tell us the problem that you're dealing with, to solve.
There's a class of drugs known as monoclonal antibodies. And these monoclonal antibodies are used to treat a number of cancers and other diseases. Now, when it comes to treating cancers with these monoclonal antibody drugs, they don't particularly work that well. And what our company does is we can take those existing commercialized drugs that are already on the market, we add little things called immunexins, which empower these antibody drugs to perform much, much better.
Okay. Right. And now, so do you work for the companies that own those particular drugs?
No. A lot of those drugs will be going off patent soon. Okay. So we have free access to those.
Oh, you take them over? When they become generic?
We take them over when they become generic. And I like to use car analogies. Can I use a car analogy?
You can use a car analogy.
So if you imagine one of these antibody drugs as your family station wagon, and that family station wagon has a certain level of performance, okay? We add our immunexin modules to that particular car, and the immunexin module you can see as a supercharger. So we add it to the car, and that car is still a car, but the car now has significantly increased performance. And that's what we do to these existing antibody-based drugs.
And is that because you turn them into bispecific?
We turn them into bispecifics, and we now, though those particular drugs that are now gone from a monospecific version to a bispecific version, now are able to recruit and activate the body's immune system.
And is the bi on the start of it mean that they can attach attached to two proteins instead of one?
That's right. One protein is the original specificity of the original drug, which is normally a cancer target. The second specificity, which is where the immunexins come in, is for recruiting and activating the body's immune system. And using the same immunexin or the same two modules, we can add it to multiple drugs. At the moment, we've started to develop seven of these. And we've done that relatively quickly.
So have you got seven of them?
We've got seven in development, yes.
Right. And when are they coming out of patent? Are they out of patent?
No, most of the patents will expire in the next couple of years. Some of them have already expired. So what we do is, because we add our immunexins to these existing drugs and now they are bispecifics and they have extra properties or an extra property, they're considered new drugs. And right. We can patent those immunexins then.
Oh, so you can patent those immunexins. And then you get protection.
For 20 years, yes.
For 20 years.
That's right.
Without doing phase 3 trials.
No, we'll still probably need to do the trials because they do have an extra property.
You've got to go through the trials,
one, two, three. Look, I can tell you the absolute truth, Alan. I don't think the regulatory bodies have actually caught up. It's not clear exactly what you need to do. It's clear that you can get them into human trials much faster, because don't forget the existing drug has already been through the whole regulatory process. So you know exactly how that drug works. You know how the target reacts to that particular therapy. All you're doing is adding an extra property to that drug. So actually getting into human trials is going to be a lot, lot faster.
So the question is whether it's a new car or just the old car with a supercharger.
That's exactly
right.
That's what
you're saying.
And what you're looking for is increased performance. It doesn't matter if the car's new or old. If you've got better performance in the end, particularly when you're trying to treat cancer, that's where our technology really stands out, I think, from the crowd.
So how much of a difference will your bispecific antibodies make to the treatment of cancer?
Look, I can't talk about ours because we haven't gone into human trials yet.
What do you think? You must think it's going to be better.
I think they will be blockbusters. So if we look at a typical example, Herceptin. Now, Herceptin is a common antibody drug that's used to treat breast cancer or certain types of breast cancer.
Is this what we're calling chemotherapy?
No, this is not chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is quite different to antibody therapy.
Right.
Now, Herceptin sells for around $9 billion a year. Okay. It's been on the market for close to 19 years, so it's going off patent soon.
Does it work?
It doesn't work particularly well on its own. It's always used in combination with chemotherapy, right, where it adds A little bit. Okay, but Herceptin on its own is not a treatment, a real treatment or a cure for breast cancer, always used in combination with chemo. Now, what we can do with Herceptin is we can take it, we can add our immunoxins to it. It now recruits the body's immune system to help kill cancer, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So you have a significantly improved version of Herceptin. The real beauty of our approach is that you completely de-risk the whole drug development process. So if you had a new target and you're developing a completely new drug, there is a certain amount of risk, and that risk is very high. Because you're taking an existing drug and all you're doing is adding a new property to it and empowering it, the risk profile for that development is probably as low as you can get.
So is your bispecific Herceptin one of the seven?
Yes, it is, yes.
And are you saying that once you've done it and tested it and so mm-hmm. on, you could use it separately from or you know independently from chemotherapy?
Yeah, look, I think
that it would work on its own?
Yeah, initially we will trial it as on its own, but we'll also trial it in combination with existing therapies. Okay, so our hope is to get it, to use it as a treatment without chemo, because even though there will be side effects with any treatment, we're hoping that they're significantly less than what we see with the chemotherapy options.
But you wouldn't be the only firm doing this to monoclonal antibodies, would you?
Look, bispecific antibodies in the last, probably since around 2010, have taken off. Companies that have good bispecific technology and preclinical products, so these are products that haven't even gone into human trials, are making deals or being acquired for billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars. So the big farmers and the medium-sized farmers are really looking for products in that bispecific space. Where we differentiate is that our immunoxin modules are plug-and-play technology, so you can take any antibody without really re-engineering that antibody. You can just attach them, it takes 2 weeks, and you have a bispecific antibody. And as far as we're aware, nobody else can do that as quickly and simply as we have.
So did you invent that?
I'm one of the inventors, yes. So also founded the company.
Where were you when you invented it?
I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry since 2001, so I've actually engineered a lot of the normal monoclonal antibodies for a number of groups, including.
No, but this particular way of creating a bispecific,
yeah.
You're saying is unique to Immunexus,
yeah,
right?
The Immunexus,
and
yeah.
You invented it.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the question, are you saying that you were working at another pharma company when you invented it?
Yeah, look,
I did. Took it with you?
Yeah, look, it's a complex story. Yeah, so I was with a company called Arana Therapeutics, which at that stage was the second biggest pharma company in Australia next to CSL.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, and we got taken over by Cephalon, which is a medium-sized American pharmaceutical company. They had about 3,000 employees. And the technology was really developed during the Cephalon era. But Cephalon again was then acquired a couple of years later by Teva Pharmaceuticals, which is one of the big generic pharmaceutical companies. And they really weren't interested in...
Also, you managed to spirit it out.
I managed to spirit it out, really for the cost of the legal fees. So,
well done.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Magnificent.
Thank you very much. So we basically took that technology on board right at the very beginning.
And you've really used that technology to create Immunexus.
That's right.
Who did you go to for money?
Money is always an issue, Alan. Look, we have we had a couple of board members that were in that financial sector. So Steve Bailey and Mark Talbot were directors at the stage. Steve Bailey still is a director. And they had a lot of network. So look, most of our, we've raised around $1.2 million up to this point. We're not a virtual company too, by the way, Alan. We've actually got labs, which we're leasing from CSIRO.
And how many shareholders have you got?
Around 60, 65. I don't know the exact count.
Now, it's interesting that you didn't list. You didn't go on the ASX.
Yeah, look, yes, we are ready to list. So really all the paperwork has been done.
Okay. You're moving. You're just about
look,
there.
We are. What we're waiting for really is to take at least one of these products to the end of what we call a proof of concept or end of animal testing. We're actively raising,
Yeah, because trials are expensive.
Trials are very expensive. Look, once we get to the end of proof of concept stage, our product, each product will be worth around $32 million. So if you can multiply that by 7, that's the time to list, because then you need a second fundraise to take each one of those products through to human trials.
Yeah.
So that's our business strategy at this point.
Well, the owner, who was it who bought Cephalon?
Ativa.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's the one that got away for them.
Well, we'll see. They moved out of the oncology space as far as I'm aware. So most of our products are in that oncology space.
So all 7 are oncology?
No, 5 of them are. One of them is for autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis and Crohn's disease, et cetera. And we've got one product that will treat allergies. So things like peanut allergies, hay fever, seafood allergies, et cetera, et cetera. So,
oh, peanut allergies, that'll be welcomed by a lot of families.
Yes. You know, once we raise some funds to get that one through, I think that will be a real breakthrough, because it's not a modulator, it's a cure for peanut allergies. So you take our treatment and then you're no longer got peanut allergies.
Wow, that'll be a big deal if you pull that off.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. But look, our expertise is oncology. My expertise is oncology. So we'll take one of our oncology products through or two. So the breast cancer one will definitely be one, but we've also got one for small cell lung cancer. The reason we've chosen that one is because it's an orphan indication. Now, for the listeners,
what do you mean by that?
Yeah, for the listeners who don't know what that means, it basically means it's a disease that doesn't have a treatment for. So you can actually fast track it through the development process. So if we pursue that particular disease and our animal testing shows that it's quite effective, then you only need to do the first stage or partially of the second stage human trials, and it will go straight on the market and sell while you're completing the rest of the studies. So in essence, if we started developing that drug today, we could have it selling on the market within 3 years, which is really phenomenal for any drug product.
Yes, of course.
Because of its orphan indication status. So that's the reason we've chosen that. Because small cell lung cancer is a nasty disease. Once you're diagnosed, you essentially die within 7 months.
A friend of mine just died of it on the weekend.
Yep,
in fact,
no treatment. No effective treatment.
No, there was, she was in trouble from the beginning.
Yeah, look, we've been to China as well, where I've presented and been in a global technology innovation competition where we competed around about 1,000 applicants from around the world, including the US, the UK, Europe and places. I suppose I really exposed our technology and our small cell lung cancer product to the Chinese market. We did extremely well. We ended up second in that competition, which was great for us. Ended up winning $75,000 in prize money.
Silver for Australia.
TV show in China, so I can't walk through China without the paparazzi hunting me down. No, I'm only joking. That would be nice, but not true.
No, but look, George, you've done so well. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. It's great being on the show.
I'll be talking to Dr. George Kopsidis, who's the Executive Director of Immunexus.